So this is kind of a brief summary of my first lecture. So I have shown this explicit formula from Poisson structures to what is quantizable Poisson structures. So these are Mark-Cartan elements of the usual Scouting algebra. These are Mark-Cartan elements of the considered Schoenhardt infinity algebra. And then I showed you a formula how to produce star products out of this, but everything was kind of incidental. And actually, what I have written does not explain why associate is here, why absolutely sure associate is here, why this is kind of easy. This is what I'm going to explain you today. And I have to use the theory of graph complexes, which also explains that this is very special structure, it's unique. It's absolutely up to homotopy, it is unique. And I go back to graphs. So, definition. Remember, we define the family of graphs with n.
So, you're saying it's unique, but it's unique with.
Up to homotopy.
With what property? I mean, the unique, typically, then you say what.
If you like, it's unique in the following sense that this becomes easy and it works in infinite dimensions. So, in fact, let me emphasize, this is true when dimension is finite, because our formula involves graphs with wheels, but here, in this formula, dimension is arbitrary. It works in infinite dimensions. So, these structures, they also, the equations make sense in infinite dimensions, but then I can quantize them quite easily.
But this statement of uniqueness, it's a theorem or it's a feeling?
It's a theorem. I will formulate it now. Okay. In what sense it is unique?
Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the key thing is this: the dimension can be, infinite. This makes this structure unique. I will explain it. It's thanks to result of again. This this is geometric reinterpretations of Thomas Wolbach's paper about the Rietveld graph complex. He managed to compute that H1 of these complexes, and this is the unique class there. And this is why I will explain.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't sound like a theorem.
No,
just to say.
Yeah, it's even now not clear why. I mean, I put this infinity, but I want to explain it.
So maybe if I might answer a little bit, so the statement would be it's unique. Structures that can only can be written down with universal operations, so you're just taking derivatives, or alternatively replace universal by GLN equivariant structures that do not introduce cycles. So you can
this is what I was going to talk
plus,
about.
And then there's if you just have this, there's a one parameter family of choices. And to get the point to make it unique, you would have to say, for example, the one that is there's only one that would be quasi-isomorphic to this to E pole, for example, or fix that choice.
Yeah, maybe I will just continue Thomas Common. Essentially, it's unique in the following sense, that this V-infinity structure is well-defined for infinite dimensional spaces. You know, it's given by graphs. To be defined in infinite dimensional spaces, it means I cannot allow graphs with closed paths, because they eventually give me some trace on V tends to V du on infinite dimensional space which diverges. And so this is unique in this class when I allow universal operations which make sense in infinite dimensions and make this passage. It's a theorem. I'm going to write it down as a theorem and you will see it. This follows from Thomas' paper. So this is, in fact, from this paper, this became clear. These two approaches became clear once he has written that paper on the Rietveld graph complexes. So it's the corollary to that book. So GNL. It's a family of graphs I just defined before. They are directed graphs. But maybe with closed paths. So here I did not exclude anything. So maybe this one allowed. And then we consider the vector space, graph, and, so in terms of terminology, it will be graph 2. By definition, this is the direct sum over edges of, I take linear span over some field of characteristic zero of this set G and L, and I shift degrees by L.
Shift from where? From zero, zero.
So, I mean, a graph with L edges will sit in degree minus L.
Okay.
So every edge, if I want to understand what is the homological degree of a graph, I just compute number of edges and take minus. So it's a z-graded vector space. And, okay, this is graph N, sorry. There is a parameter which does not add. And the family of all these graph Ns, this is the family of all these. No, remember, what I have not written, my vectors is unnumbered, so there is an action of the permutation group on this vector space. This is an S module. For any n, there is an Sn acts by permuting labels of vertices. And then I consider all family of such graphs, and this is an order. An opera, thanks to Benoit, we know the definition, so I admit it. But what is the periodic structure? Our periodic structure is the following, kind of a, what I need the following operation. So for every integer in the set from 1 to n, I have to define a kind of a product parameterized by this integer from graph n, where this I lies, and then any graph, say graph M, whatever. And I produce a space in graph M plus N minus 1. No, let us take this graph, for example. Take, say, for example, this graph, 1, 2, no edges, for example. Okay, let me take an edge. Say, 1, 2. Then what is the rule? So it's composition into third vertex. What I do, what we do, we erase this vertex, so it disappears. This is what is left of it. And some edges are left hanging in the air for a moment. And here I just write my graph I substituted. It could be a very complicated graph. I just substituted, I write it here. And then I have a problem. I mean, well, to produce now a genuine graph, I have to decide what I do with these edges. I somehow have to connect it somewhere. And I take the sum of all possible choices of connections. So this is an operatic composition. And remarkably, remember, I had a rule. I have a graph, and I have to create some polydifferential operator on polyvector fields. And in fact, this is an operatic map. It's a map from graph to endomorphism opera of T poly. T for any D. So endomorphism opera, it's a very simple thing. It just so the nth bit of it is just all linear maps from the nth tensor power of T poly to itself. And operatic composition is just substitution of maps. So I, and it's respected. So these phi gamma are kind of very good. They really respect. There is some associativity laws for this composition, which is Benoit explained. But therefore, for me, the gra is a kind of a universal polyvector field in a sense. Universal endomorphism. Mm-hmm. Thomas made it rigorous. He essentially take a stable limit of this opera and related it to gra. It's something different, but there is a relation to gra, which Thomas made explicit in the paper Stable Polyvector Fields. Right? Then, why it's good in this particular story. Because for any opera, in particular for this one, if I take the direct sum of all these vector spaces of all m, that's true for any opera, I can make it into Lie algebra. With the bracket, say, let me take A and Z, this lies in graph for m, this lies in graph m, and what I do, I just substitute my B into all vertices of A in all possible ways. Then minus or plus, depending on as usual, I do the opposite. This is the sum from J1 to M. I substitute A to B. And now in particular, my graph, out of graph, I cook a graph, but this is not what I want. I mean, in fact, out of this, I can do, for this operation, you know, there are permutation groups acting on this space. In fact, this Lie brackets induce the Lie algebra structure and invariance. So we define now the algebra GC2. By definition, I mean, we have to take completed to incorporate differential Ks. Completed, we take a product of all n. I take graph n invariance, or co-invariance, characteristic zero doesn't matter. I want to think what I do, I slightly shift degrees. It will be now 2 minus 2m. Yeah. It still works. But Lie brackets again, remember, essentially what it means. Before I had graph labeled, but now I kind of symmetrize all labels. It means I deleted them. How I have now graphs which are not labeled. Or if you like, it's a sum of graphs with all possible labels. So it's a representative of a sum of possible labelings. But Lie brackets is obvious, it's just substitutions as I explained there. And now, kind of the claim is that every universal Lie-infinite structure T-poly is a Mario-Cartan element here. So this is a Lie algebra, I have Lie brackets. So any MC element in GC2 gives us universal in the sense it does not depend on the choice of D. It kind of works in any universal Lie infinity structure in T-poly through that representation. So MC element means I have these brackets, I have some kind of graphs of degree 1 in this gradient of degree 1 which satisfy this condition. And there are one example is so one MC element gives us curtain. So, example. The basic example is K gamma to be this graph. Remember, it stands for kind of symmetrized version. Remember, my ruler just means symmetrization, I just omitted, but this is what it means from the computation. And one can check, it's true. It's indeed zero. This is a Mario-Cartan element. And remember, I have representation that any graph I can map to a vector field, it gives me scouting bracket. For any D. So that's universal incarnation. Next. What about other Mario-Cartan elements? No, in general, if you have graphs which are not bivalent, higher valence, it will be Lie infinity structure. But then the question is, this is now we come to uniqueness. Okay, I mean, these graphs are oriented, but I did not exclude weights. So essentially, my representation works only in finite dimension. the graph with wheel makes sense as an operation on polyvector fields only in finite dimension. The question is about the infinity structures in infinite dimension. Let me kind of consider. Therefore, this leads us to subcomplex. Consider GC2 directed. So, by the way, this Mario-Cartan element gives me differential. Instead of differential T, so kind of, let me write it gamma 0, it's a commutator with gamma 0. So it means that my GC2 with this D is a complex. Well, strictly speaking, notation I beat, because I allow everything of any, strictly speaking, Thomas would say these are graphs which at least try valid. But then, I mean, I have to exclude this graph. But still, let me omit these details. Let me took. Thomas would say it's full connected, whatever. But that's a small thing. Yeah. It's a complex. And essentially, well, this complex was introduced by Kantsevich for these two. Thomas has done it for any D. I mean, you can take any parameter D, which works for D3, which we use. And quantization-free by algebras.
So there are two completely different D's on this. There are completely different D's on the board right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Delta. Yes. let me put the delta because I use ID for polyvector fields. You are right. Thank you.
But it was, oh, so there were three.
It was the complexes existed long before me, and for example, Drawer computed the homology of the computer.
Oh, yes, sorry, yes, you're correct. And you found that there are some non-trivial classes. Now, let me say, no. Let me say that in fact, so essentially, I mean, what Kantsevich observed, that abstraction to P2, I mean, assume we want to construct star product P2B step by step. No, kind of we know how to do it up to maybe fifth order or fourth order. Explicitly, we can do it. But then I think we can is it possible to do it forever? No, I mean, there are abstractions which lie in H1, GC2. And abstractions to construct that thing I will show you lie in the same group. When we try to construct this V-infinity morphism inductively, we meet at the sixth level vertex already a homology class in a wheeled one, though we work with directed ones. Let me, I will explain it. Therefore, conjecture is still, nowadays it's zero, but it's a very strange zero. To represent every cycle as a co-boundary, you need associator. So it's a very non-trivial zero. So conjecture is a folk conjecture. This is zero, but from equation d phi 0 to d to phi d psi, you need a associator. And in fact, we shall see it here, in fact, in this construction. I mean, essentially, our construction gives an associator which sends to zero infinitely many classes here, which emerge when I attempt to construct Schottky structure with the usual one. There are infinitely many cohomology classes which are killed. But to kill them, you need associated this transcendental formula, which I have written on 1 hour before. So this kind of this formula kind of confirms that, in fact, this passage is non-trivial. But Thomas Wilbacher have made a great, fantastic progress in understanding of this complex. Thomas has proved that H0 of this complex, okay, is in fact the algebra of the disindictive neural group, and for negative it is 0, but let me put trivalence here to be absolutely correct. Alright. Well, but GC2 involves graphs with closed wheels, therefore essentially a Mario-Cartan element in GC2 will give me the infinity structure which makes sense only in finite dimensions. And then the question comes, what about infinite? Those which live on the infinite. Then I have to consider subcomplex. This is spread by graph with no closed paths, with no wheels. So the graph, which contains paths like these, are not allowed. This is a subcomplex. I mean, in fact, gamma belongs to it. I mean, you see. The differential is well defined, and again, this is the result of Thomas Wolbacher, which in fact made all this construction possible. It's 11, 12. Well, this is the time I understood this construction, I think it was. I'm not sure, I'm sorry. Sometimes later, a few years later, Thomas proved. He proved a remarkable third position. Let me just spare time. That GC1 is one-dimensional. And moreover, we can write it. What is it? It's a span. It's essentially a span of the following graph. This is kind of a two. One dimension, there is only one class present there, which means, so you know, H1 measures deformations of this in the class, which makes sense in infinite dimensions. So there is a unique Lie infinity, up to homotopy Lie infinity structure, which deforms Skeleton bracket, and which involves graphs with no width. This is the answer to your question why it's, this is now a theorem. This is why it is a theorem. But the point, but now from this result, you can also see that this structure, considered Schuchert one, is perturbative. It's not transcendental. Because we had transcendental formula, there was a question, is it maybe there are associators as well? Can I have associated and then give me two errors? This is not true. There is no nothing here, but it's, I mean, it is here there is associated. No, that's not true. You can construct it by induction. So now I want to construct a new second example of Mayer-Cartan element, which lies here, just by induction.
Before that, the graphs over there on the right, should they be labeled or not? I mean, are we
they
now
are
in the...
You should assume they are all labeled
symmetrized.
As symmetrized.
Okay.
So this is kind of one, it's a sum of symmetrized graphs,
okay.
Like here.
Yeah. And at least very, very superficially, this looks a tiny bit like the cocycle conditions that the co-bracket has to satisfy. Is there anything in it, or am I just
deluding myself? No, this is still Poisson world. This is still Poisson world. This is not a Lie algebra case. In the Lie algebra case, the first class like this will have 9 vertices, and we don't have an explicit formula.
Okay.
And still there are, I mean, it's a, this part is in progress, but in fact this is, if you like, this is this four. the first infinitesimal contribution to the Skeleton bracket when you deform. You know, I wrote 2k, this is 2 is Skeleton, you know, in this equation defined quantizable. This is 4, this is this cohomology class.
One more question. So how is all this story related to the exotic structures that Jorn discussed some time ago, right? I think there was also just one class, right? And also...
It's a different story. It's a different story. This is the class which is there. It's a different one. It's for S infinity. This is not that story. Mm-hmm. But the parallel is that it's also unique. Mm-hmm. So maybe one can find some interrelations. Maybe. Thomas, Jon, maybe you should look, can one really see any connection, but I don't see it. At this moment I cannot answer. But you are right, there is also a unique perturbation in the Jon's thesis, but it's kind of a concierge type graphs, and it's unique given by this trivalent, and then...
Maybe can I say something for cross question? These graphs, what you should see them, are the theta graphs that gives the simplest invariant for for example, for steam edges. That was two vertices connected by steam edges. And they connect, they can be corresponded to this. Yep. That's what you should see in there.
Yeah, essentially, maybe I say a few more words. How Thomas did it, he simply proved that the family of graphs in D-dimensions, full one, directed homology, again, up to some limit conditional invariancy, is the same as in the previous one, in D minus, full one, in the pre, yes, in the previous one. So for, right, so directed in 3 will give us just Kantsevich complex, but directed in D2 gives us one dimension, and there, this is kind of, when you go from this world to this world, this particular graph gets translated into this one. This is how Thomas did it. But now, in fact, you see, I mean, that I can have a second example, Kantsevich shortcut element. So I start with this one, with this graph. Let me denote this just by one symbol, the whole sum. I add this sum to it. But then I can, but okay, this is not, I want this to be my Cartan element. But then I have a problem. I have to find, I take a commutator of these two ones, it must be D exact. But again, by this theorem, I know this will be a graph with 4 plus 3, 7 vertices. It must be D exact, so it exists. And I continue on. So this induction. And I get this. But then the question is, I mean, what about the infinity? Maybe associated seat here, not here. Can we, by induction, construct the infinity quasi-zoomorphism? So essentially, what I have, two differentials now, this one and this inductive ones, and Shortcut's conjecture says that, in fact, this DKF is kind of E adjoint action of some degree zero element in this full directed graph complex, not in the directed one, acting on D, acting on just on this minor Cartan element. And the answer is, this is what conjecture, and the theorem, yeah, this is true, but H depends on the Chesterfield associator. And let us see where, why, I mean, can we do it by induction, for example? Well, the first step, this one, is easy. So this sum of three graphs is in fact D0, a very simple graph. I think one half of this. You know, this class is D exact in the graph complex where I allow wheels. I think this is one half, or one four, I mean, I think one half maybe. Yeah, so this is the exact. So this is a degree zero element. Therefore, I can take it and take a joint, apply a joint. At least I kind of put the middle that I kill my first, this term is get killed. But look, how it acts on all the terms in this sum. It makes them wheeled. So the next graph will have six vertices. It will be cycle, but it will be wheel graph. It's, but then we don't know which one is zero. It's a conjecture. So we really stop. We have the same problem as Kantsevich had when trying to contrast star products. We come here. So inductively we stop. But we have a transcendental formula, and this is true. Okay, now I kind of explain uniqueness, why it's special, why these quantizable things are kind of really, they are unique, because this is a unique class. And they do the job, they do the quantization, now I go to Liebye. I show you the quantization formula for Liebye algebras.
Excuse me, this associator you mentioned here, the arrow, it's one particular one.
So a Chesterfield associator gives us all solutions for cycles. So you cannot, I mean, it's not trivial. Otherwise, you know, why it's true, if this conjecture is true, this is the only way it's to be true. Because then we have a contradiction to theorem that all quantizations are classified by associators. Because if there is no, because you know, if it's, there are no obstructions, okay, you do your job. But obstructions are kind of very special. Okay, and I think this story will have explanation. I mean, hopefully, at one day it will, I hope it will be solved. It's in fact a conjecture also by Drinfield. Drinfield faced the same thing when he was trying to quantize Lie by algebras, essentially. So there are two people who look at this group, were not able to prove it's zero, and find bypasses. Drinfield found, okay, Intikovka, let me just, I mean, it's open. It's open, but it's associated sit here, right? It's great to find them just at this level. At least we kill infinitely many cycles in the full graph complex by using associator associated with our explicit formula. Because, I mean, we know that the next term is a coboundary because we have an infinity. Then the next wheel cycle will be coboundary, and there are infinite of them, they're all killed.
And the associator is Alexei
Torosyan? We guess so, but as I explained, there is no proof. We guess so, that our formula is a gauge equivalent to Alexei Torosyan, but we don't know. We don't use hyperbolic geometry in the formula. Hard to say, but just what else can it be? I mean, it looks like. So let me now go to the second part of my talk. Fortunately, I could be here rather brief because everything gets generalized straightforwardly, more or less. There are some subtleties only for formality extension, which I will talk about. There are no subtleties for formality extension in this story, but for formality extension in the biology story, there is kind of some paper of Stanley Blees and Apple, which we were able just to follow up to 70%. And we have interpretation of the Priebus sociohedron configuration, but the next stage, okay. But for Lie by formula is explicit, there is no doubt. I mean, just about extension for formality. So, candle part two. I have 20 minutes, right? I think something like this.
As usual, it's somewhat negotiable. I mean,
no, I will try. Because, I mean, I think ideologically, I explained ideology, and this is parallel.
Well, so, still some details.
Okay. Anyway, then, so let me tell the story, then we should see. So, part two, explicit formula. Of Lie by algebras. And again, it goes through intermediate object of quantizable ones, so it's, the story is very similar, but so we start with a set of Lie by algebras, say in some vector space E. So essentially it's a Lie bracket, right? And the Lie co-bracket. Let me write just co-Lie in this way. From Lie to lambda to Lie, which are compatible. Our first step shall give you explicit formula. We construct quantizable. In V formal power series, whose leading term will be this one. H0 term will be this one. And again...
But what is it? You deform both bracket and co-bracket?
Yeah, still, it's a kind of an H and a delta H coli, two operations still. But they formal power series, but they satisfy more complicated equations. Analog of concentric shortage.
But also their domains and domains and ranges are bigger. It's not wedge 2v to wedge 2v, it will be wedge nv 2v or something, sorry.
No. It's just V. Still, this is V, tend, this is the same.
Still with the same domain and range?
V, but the only thing, they become formal power series in H. Still.
So they don't become infinity structures?
No. They are not becoming. They satisfy infinity equations. So, like in the previous story, we had a bivector field, we get another bivector field from our power series if it solves different equations.
So, similar. So, this is going to be a D by algebra over formal series?
Or yeah, yeah. And essentially, it will be a Mario Cartan element. You know, these are MC elements. And some. Let me kind of write GV, Lie algebra with minus degree 2 brackets. I will define it later. Here we shall have this GV formal power series. We shall have this one, but the next term will be the, it's, well, this one. Then there will be kind of a ninth term, 4k plus 1. Let me write. 4k plus 1.
Usually it's a Gerstner-Lambert-Schack, yeah? It's not Gerstner-Lambert-Schack complex that you're looking at?
No. Still complex. Still, I mean, this is. We're still in the world of Lie algebras. Just.
Yeah, from a Lie algebra, you construct this Gerstner-Lambert-Schack.
No. Here I do not. It's a quantization, which I say easy. It's here I come to Gerstner-Lambert-Schack. Here, I have kind of a hope, or I don't think about a depot, it's a bi-algebra.
Yeah.
Kind of a, here I have star product, and kind of a, this core star product. Mm-hmm. It's here. But remember, in our story, this intermediate object, this is, to get here is difficult, to get here, we guess it's easy.
Maybe you can take the Gerstner-Lambert-Schack complex with some infinity algebra structure.
No, I meant you have a complex which is, looks like Gerstner-Lambert-Schack, but for Lie algebras actually. So you have a more Cartan.
Okay. Let me say what is this? GV. What is this? GV is essentially symmetric tensor algebra of V minus 1 plus V dual minus 1 with the, if I have coordinates in V, basis in V, say xi is the basis in V, here here I have a basis say psi I, this will be psi I dual, and the bracket is just the usual Poisson bracket minus other term. This is the same. Mm-hmm. So this is the same space. It's not a Gerstner-Lambert-Schack complex. It's a very, it's analog of polyvector fields.
Yeah, so it's kind of an analog for Lie algebra that exists. Okay, I call it this way.
So essentially, I have here high brackets. Mm-hmm. I have this one kind of with two inputs, but then I have with 9 and 4k plus 1. 9, 13, so.
But this GV
it's zero. Wait, it's a zero. We can prove it for choices.
So you construct new brackets on this GV, yeah?
Yes. And still I have just these two brackets and co-brackets. Simply they satisfy equations.
Because you see, if you want to express that you have a Lie by algebra, then you say that you have maps from V squared to V, and from V to V squared, and that is say some rooms, yes? And also you can translate this in terms of a complex, and you have the direction of this element, they satisfy some equation.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and then, what, but then so it this seems that in this complex you define higher rules.
No. In a sense, yes, higher rules, but I mean, still it's the same bracket and co-bracket. I mean, my data is just bivector is much like this, lambda 2v.
So it will be a formal deformation of the Lie algebra over this.
Yeah, I deform brackets and I deform brackets into formal power series. And there are no, say, lambda wedge product 3. In this sense, there are no higher terms.
No, you ask whether it is a formal deformation as a Lie algebra.
Yeah.
No, it is not a Lie algebra.
It is a initial term, as I told you. It will be formal power series with initial term this one, but then there will be corrections. It is a satisfying equation which depends on H. It's an analog of K story.
Okay.
Okay. So, no, you agree that we have in this thing we have kind of analog of a Skeleton bracket, such that this pair gives me a Mallory-Cartan element, right? So kind of. If again I use my coordinates, if these are structure constants for the algebra, this is kind of psi I, psi j, psi I, and this, if this is for algebra, this will be something like this. So if you plug into this usual Poisson structure here, there is a pairing, it induces Poisson structure. Mallory-Cartan equations give you Lie algebra, exactly. Here, I have a similar thing, but kind of here, so this is kind of a new, let me choose a different column. So this is kind of this pair is my one single entity, my new Mallory-Cartan element of this form. Out of this, I have another. This is the sum of these two, which are now formal power series in H. But they live here. It's not any other complex. They live in the same space. What changes the equations get changed. This, let me write mu q. Mu q satisfies the original equation. Then h to the 8, there will be some equations with 9 inputs. Explicit formula will be provided. So mu q 9, okay, 4k plus 1 times k greater than 2. Before I simply can kill, we know weights are vanish for our choices. Corrections come. So this is zero. And then I have explicit formula for quantizations. And the story is again, now I have kind of a cylinder with bottom line 2 sphere, bottom line 1 sphere. On the bottom I have a homogeneous volume form which gives me this bracket by vanishing lemma. On the top class I have the one which is kind of kills graphs with wheels. It's concentrated on the upper half. Story is parallel.
So all the wheels are on the left part of the picture?
Yes. This is where finite dimensionality is used.
And the construction of VQ, the construction of nu Q out of nu involves directed wheels.
Wheels involves wheels. It's infinite. In our story, it involves wheels.
Okay.
This is a negative part. This is why, I mean, the process was delayed. We wanted to have it in infinite. We really wanted to avoid wheels at this stage, but it looks like you have to pay a price. In my story, I will have smooth propagators and so on, but for directed ones, probably we need to take a limit with this choice of f to some kind of delta functions, and we should to work with generalized. But this is what I'm telling is vague.
So presently you do not have explanation for why there is an arrow from the very left to the very end with no wheels.
Yes. No. I mean no.
Yes.
You're right.
Thanks.
We do not have. Yeah. So this is what I emphasize. It works only here.
Yeah.
This is an added dimension.
Yeah.
But we want to avoid it, but I think the price will be high.
Yeah.
Propagators will not be smooth, they should be kind of, maybe I'm wrong, they should be generalized functions.
Okay.
But let me continue on just this story. Again, I have to explain you two formulae, one and two. Give explicit formulae for both, and then I'm done. So one. So there is kind of an input for both stories. Let me now take a sphere in three dimensions. Why? all these. So we choose two volume forms, one the standard homogeneous one. The only thing I normalize it to be one immediately. And then I choose, okay, let me introduce two angles from the North Pole. Say this is theta 1 and this is theta 2. This lies in the ZX plane, this lies in the ZY plane. And just this is for the reason, just to kill some weights and make some formulae easier. So let me choose a volume form with compact support in the form theta 1 d theta 1, the same function theta 2 d theta 1 d theta 2. So it's a kind of, if you like, it's a similar one from the previous story. We take it twice. But again, maybe I change the normalization, I add this to be 1. And I choose F to be, have compact support in just in this part. And yeah, it's enough to say. Because at the end of the day, when I go to Hoppe-Hausdorff, I will use three-dimensional space with two distinguished planes. And kind of these come from the circle on the one plane, and this will come from the circle on another plane. And this is just for simplicity, you know, formula, some weights get killed. And this is why it starts with 9. You can make it worse, and then you will have already at the low level some unnecessary things. This is the only reason why we made a choice. So it's a kind of, if you like, it's a propagator from the previous story, taken in this way, and normalized in a slightly different way. So it sits in the upper half plane. So let me kind of write it. It's a volume form depending on the function left 2, and it has support. Support, this is what I mean here, and this support belongs to Z0 in S2. It's a volume form in the upper half. What kind of I want it to be coming through these two projections? It's just my choice. And then explicit formula is. First, explicit formula for higher brackets. So what will be this 4k thing? 4k plus 1. It's an integral. I take now configuration space of embedding of the set 1, 4k plus 1 into R3, and I take quotient by the action of the standard group. Therefore, this is a smooth, open, non-compact 3, 4k plus 1 minus 4 dimensional space, right? So this is 12k minus 1. I have written notes which I never looked at, but at this point I need to look at. As I told you, this is the story, 2 years old, I forgot, I'm not sharp on some things. I just forgot these numbers, and maybe I'm wrong. Let me just take here general case. Well, not general case. So, so if you look at this space, let me assume I have kind of a k input here, right? So it's k. So what will be the dimension of this space? The dimension of this space will be 3k minus 4, right? And I want this number to be even. This is the only way when it contributes. Therefore, k is kind of a 2p. K is kind of a 2p. And m is computed by dividing by 2, right? M is m will be then 3p minus 2. Right, and for p odd, I know the weights are 0, so p is even. P is kind of a 2l. Okay, but to simplify the story, let me work with kind of a 2p. But in fact, for p odd, its weights will not contribute. But simply, I want to be fine with the, this is number of edges. I mean, this is differential form. This is oh, sorry. It's this will be. This will be the sum of the graphs with 2p vertices, 3p minus 2 edges. Okay, I kind of maybe. I apologize for this mess. So, I used the graph from the previous family, just directed graphs with wheels allowed, so no. Exclusion, so they belong to what I denote G. I put 2p, and then here I put 3p minus 2. But essentially, for p odd, they will not contribute. There is a very simple result just for our choice, for this particular choice. And then I integrate the volume form depending on the graph of this configuration space, which is of this dimension, 3k minus 4. Or this will be then 6p minus 4, right? If k is 2p. And what is the volume form? The volume form is just, again, wedge product over edges of my graph of a form this one. So for every edge I have a form. So assume I have an edge like this, it's labeled AIJ, but now the points lie in a three-dimensional space, so my form is defined like this. It's P1, P2 by definition is this one. It's a volume form concentrated in the upper half of the sphere of these two points.
So for concreteness, can you draw the first interesting graph in your G2P 3P minus 2?
Yeah. So the first interesting one, it should have, it should be at least. So the rule is, so it should, it, the first one will have P4, so therefore it will have 8, it will have, yeah, it will have, so it will have, so P is, it will have 8 vertices, and so this is the case P equals 2, and it will have, ten edges. So this, the potential graph should have the property. It is not allowed to have binary vertices of this type. They are zero. They do not contribute to the story. They even are not allowed to have vertices paired like this, two binary vertices of this type. They are also zero. I mean, I have one down, one up. I think so. Well, Therefore, any other are allowed.
What do you mean up and down?
Yeah, you know, I have two vertices which kind of are, you know, here whatever happens. I have a part of my graph of this type.
But this is a particular case of...
Sorry, yes. What I mean, in the other. This the, kind of this violet field cannot be neighbors. They vanish. But then I mean anything of this. So kind of for below you don't this kills things for less than 8. You always have such a combination, just for combinatorial rule. You cannot have graph with right now more vertices which do not have these subgraphs. Therefore, the story starts with A, where I think there are, but I'm not able to write it down. I have not prepared, I apologize. It's somewhere in the notes, I mean, but...
Will you allow me to post your notes online?
Yes, of course, yes. Right. Well, but let me say the following. It's kind of not really important. I can choose some other volume form on this sphere where some other graphs will contribute. But I still have the right machinery works, so this is not a critical question for me if this vanish or not. This is kind of, I mean, I want to minimize my story, I mean, our story, but I mean, this. So this explains these brackets. This explains the formula. Yeah, so this is a two-form, it's straight in the upper half, and I have, it starts, of course, with this quadratic form, but then there will be 8 terms in pi. Next, how we go, the infinity part. It's exactly the same as before. We take this form and this one, and we know that this form, F(S)2, is related to the homogeneous one, with now one form. This is the one form. Mm-hmm. Next, we go to my configuration spaces, more just translations. Here we have this one. And then we construct the infinity morphism in exactly the same way as before, just using only interpolation between using this H, complementary one. And the final step, explicit formula for quantization, uses just again volume FS2. It's absolutely parallel to Poisson structure story, and I hope we shall post this paper in this autumn with Thomas. We probably should. Because it's kind of, I mean, it's... And I finish my talk. Yeah.
Questions?
Can you say something about the graph complexes in this case? So are there any...
So essentially... So there is some kind of mystery here. So where this structure lives in? It lives in GC3 directed, which we know by the Thomas result is quite isomorphic to GC22. So this is already directed story. This one lives in the full GC2. I have two differentials. One is this one, and then, this sits in also GC2 full ones, 3. And the second differential, I have two differential sets here. This one and another Kovashovich one, plus, I mean, graphs with 8 vertices. And at least bivalent and not containing these parts. They are gauge equivalent. But unfortunately, the gauge equivalence between these two differentials at this moment involves graphs which lie in the full complex, which involves weights. This is how the situation looks like at present. It's desirable that in this story, In the case of Paul, in the previous story, we know it's impossible to relate similar differentials just in here. No way. You have to use full graph complex. Here, because we know there are quantizations from infinite dimensional conjectures, we can relate them just lying here. But then we have to modify our theory. We should somehow already at the stage when we work with this propagated volume, this H, Q graph with wheels, which looks like we have to take a limit to generalized functions. It's not cheap. At this stage, it's all smooth functions, very simple, but gauge equivalence is here. And this is something wrong. I mean, it should be here. This is not done.
Okay, I also have a question. So, so you construct this new bracket on this Lie algebra GV, you call it, yeah? And through these integrals, yes?
Yeah.
And are there some identities related in relating them? So what's special about these new brackets? So just the bracket.
Yeah. They satisfy the infinity equation coming from this differential. There are lots of equations they satisfy.
But the infinity.
So for any graph with one less edge, I have a Stokes theorem, which gives me lots of relations between weights produced by contractions. And they give us that these Lie brackets, they satisfy, they solve in equations with higher terms. This, here we have higher brackets.
Yeah.
Two brackets, then I said nine is wrong. Eighth, the first eighth bracket, and then maybe four and so on.
So, it's an infinity version of not Lie, but of Lie by algebra, yeah?
It's not Lie by algebra. Okay, let me tell you. It's a form of power series. This cube, like this. It starts with the usual Lie by algebra, which we kind of put as a plug-in. But out of it, we construct kind of an H, I think, 7, will be some operator out of this new 8 times. Then there will be some term H, 11, some of the graphs, 11 times.
Yes.
And this new Q solves an equation. So this new Q solves an equation. First, I take the usual bracket which defines this one. But then, here it's kind of, there are some higher order terms. And then I have this bracket with 8 coming from the potential graph with 8 vertices, H7, mu q7, and then so on. This satisfy an equation which is an infinite form of power series. But only at H0 I have a usual Lie by algebra. So the equation itself is not a Lie by algebra. When I look at the higher terms, they are not a Lie by algebra equations.
Yeah.
But they are what I call quantizable because the next step becomes easy.
So my question was this bracket number 8, and all these brackets, so themselves are defined using this integral.
Yes. That's
correct?
Yeah. No. We guess it's also by induction. But at this moment, it's defined just by integral.
And now the question is, all this bracket 8 and all these new brackets, do they satisfy among themselves?
Yes, of course, Lie infinity equation is usual. So assume this kind of a family of mu...
So it's a Lie infinity structure on GV, yeah?
Yeah, mu 2, mu 8, mu 12, whatever, I mean, mu... Sorry, I mean, whatever, some numbers. It's a Lie infinity equation, they satisfy.
Okay, so you put a Lie infinity structure on GV, yeah?
Precisely. Lie infinity, and then I take Mayer-Cartan element. If I choose them kind of cubic, it stays cubic for degree reasons. So it still will be bracket.
So you take a Mayer-Cartan for the initial, and you put...
Mayer-Cartan there, then I have explicit formulae given by this integral to produce new quantum, infinite form of power series,
Yeah, and it will be more Cartan for the L-infinity.
For this L-infinity structure.
Yeah.
And then I have explicit formula how from new Q to construct just explicitly these two. And even I computed them up to fifth order by hand and recovered the L-infinity formulae. So I have it in my on our paper up to fifth order. I simply computed weights, you know, to be sure, because the initial, you know, the story begins from kind of eighth or ninth term. But the first terms are quite rigid. They're quite rigid, and Drinfield started up to fifth order, and there is very small homotopy just to kill graphs like this. I mean, once you kill them, it seems essentially unique. Therefore, there is a kind of very rigorous check. If your formula really works, you have to plug in, because there are no choices. You have to get this number, 1 over 12, 1 over 24, whatever you... And this is done, I mean, at least for the level people did it by hand, we checked our formula. But the subtlety comes from the ninth term. How to compute such integrals, I have no idea at the moment.
So, is there a uniqueness statement for these higher brackets like you had in the previous case, right? In the previous case you had some H1 is equal to, is one-dimensional, and therefore there is a, only one deformation. Is there a similar statement
this
here?
This is in progress. We don't know yet. There is, I cannot state this as a theorem. Maybe Thomas will say more. We didn't check it. We think so, but there is some kind of a mystery. So let me kind of explain what the mystery there. Thomas related GC directed in D kind of by the isomorphic to the full one in the previous step. Conjecture is, in fact, that this directed one contains something kind of a double directed in T plus one, which makes it, you know, you can continue on. And then to prove uniqueness, you have first to find this double arrow. And this is where the uniqueness will be lying. But it's not clear for us what it is. So we have really to go now, kind of before we had full complex, then we had a subcomplex without wheels, but then there is something yet smaller. You know, this one is exactly as GC2, where it's not helpful to be just in the direct business in the Lebye case. It's not helpful at all. You have to go to subcomplex, and we, this is open. This is why the work is in progress for kind of a long time. But at least this part is done. This part is clear. It's simple.
Okay. Any questions? No, thanks again.